Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Macca. During the week, just in case you didn't actually hear us, most Australians woke up to an announcement by the federal government, which is committing our nation to a $270 billion investment over a 10-year period into defence. Now, all this is occurring in the context of a global pandemic, in an environment where people are doing it really hard, purses are being squeezed, belts are being tightened, and all of a sudden, we've been able to find $270 billion over 10 years when we can't find a couple of million here and there to support some of our other areas and other members of our community who are doing it harsh. So to talk to us about what all this means, we have John Blaxland, who's from the Australian National University and is an expert in security and intelligence studies. Good morning to you, John.
Oh, Tess, thanks for having me on the program.
It's our absolute pleasure. John, so explain to us, do we really need to make this investment, this $270 billion investment over 10 years?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and it's an important question. I think it's worth seeing it in terms of an insurance policy. I like to use the metaphor of insurance and a signposted alarm system and insurance policy for a house. And in that, with that, you usually want to have a neighbourhood watch system so that the neighbours and your friends and colleagues will look out for each other and help make sure that the neighbourhood stays safe. But when things start happening in the neighbourhood, sometimes the premiums go up and the importance of having grills on the door or a lock on the window, things like that, have to be factored in. And now there's a limit to the metaphor, but essentially, we've had a defence force, for a century plus now, and it's been an insurance policy. We've had to use it, not really in anger, for a long time now, really, except for a number of relatively niche contributions to coalition operations far from Australia's shores, with a few exceptions like the intervention in East Timor in 99, that's helping out in the Solomon Islands, and doing a few things in the neighbourhood, helping out with cyclone recovery and tsunami assistance and things like that, which the ADF, the Australian Defence Force, is very good at. What we've seen is that essentially for a generation more or more so, we've figured that about 2% of GDP, a bit under 2% of GDP, has been enough to cover that. It's peaked. There's been peaks and troughs over the years. It's been more than that. In the Cold War, it was more than that. It got up to about 4%. And certainly during the World Wars, it's gone into the teens. It's been much, much greater proportion. But essentially for yours and my lifetime, we haven't felt the need to do much more than hover a bit under 2%, really. So that's been fine, except we've seen the world kind of get a little bit more complicated. I've put it down to three major factors. One is increased great power contestation. Another is a spectrum of governance challenges relating to transnational crime, drug smuggling, people smuggling, terrorist issues, and related issues of governance and control and oversight and corruption. And then the third element I would put it down to is environmental challenges. And here I'm thinking global climate change, but also pandemics and related issues arising from drought, famine, fire, etc. So when you put all those together, you realise that, in fact, the spectrum of challenges we're facing today is actually pretty consequential. And there is a sense that Basically, the premiums have to go up. One is because if you look at them in terms of great power contestation, you're seeing what I would call a transactional retreat from ideational leadership coming out of the United States. We used to rely on the United States to take the lead on international bodies, World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, the United Nations. These things that kind of helped develop what we have broadly called the rules-based global order. You know, that's facilitated global trade, that's facilitated people movement, orderly transitions, UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, all these kind of conventions.
Are you saying that we no longer trust these institutions?
No, I think we do. In fact, Australia relies on them enormously. They're incredibly important to us. The problem is that the one
General
state...
Trump?
the country that was probably most instrumental in generating these international institutions seems to have lost faith in them. And that's deeply worrying. And that is raising concerns. And, of course, that's coupled with the emergence of effectively a dictator for life in China, President Xi, who's given himself incredible powers. He's taken over the military commission. He's given himself additional powers, and he's boosted military spending in a way that is basically scaring the horses in the neighbourhood. No one else has matched their growth in defence spending. No one else has sought to do so, and everybody has sought to allay their fears, and it's done everything but allay their fears. If anything, the rhetoric's got worse.
Can I just say, John, I think the first challenge where... it's Macca here. You know, we have... We've relied on the US for a huge part of our security, and this $270 million, a large component of that is very high-tech weaponry that I may not see in my lifetime. Hopefully I live a bit longer than that. But
yes, me too, Mac.
That, you know, we're going to spend this money, and it's important to know a lot of this is not new money. This is a re-announcement, but government is saying, we're going to spend this amount of money, and this is why we're spending it, because of the threat, and perhaps they're not prepared to say so, but the threat of China in this region. You and I are probably
not
going...
Not exclusively.
No, you and I are probably going on a list, John. You and I are going on a list. What we've said about Hong Kong, we go to, you know, China, we go to Hong Kong, we're going to end up in a holiday camp with some Uyghurs if we're not careful. But there's one thing that I think is really challenging in this. You talked about, climate change impacts, pandemics.
Yeah.
So we look at let's just look at the last 10 years. Yep. The involvement of the Australian Defence Force in natural disasters, now in pandemics, as well as the other places around the world where Australian ADF forces are posted, I see that the challenge is going to be is having sufficient boots on the ground to meet those challenges. And the technology to meet the challenges in our region. You know, what you do with a bully is you have to stand up to them. And a lot of that is bluff and bluster. But how are we going to meet that? How are we going to balance, if we accept that we want, that we need to stand up for ourselves with a degree of independence, is this going to be enough in a technology sense, but also boots on the ground? I don't see how we're going to have enough boots on the ground to meet these challenges.
No, well, I couldn't agree more, Macca. And I mean, the thing is that, this is, I think, a step in the right direction, but it's not the only step we should be taking. We have needs that are great. The Defence Force is really, a very impressive organisation, but it's a boutique force. It's really, it's not a very big one. It's not one designed to take a surge in operational tempo. It's not designed to face
It's not, because it's actually a black hole. It just sucks up money, and nobody knows where it goes or what happens to it.
Well, to be fair, there are annual reports that do detail where all the money goes. So it's not a complete black hole. But I take your point. It's not very obvious to people what's happening with all the money. I would make a couple of observations. One is that the budget has been about for the forecast for the next decade was about $195 billion, which is, 19.5 per year, which checks you when you think about it, relative to just, say, annual health. We spend about $120 billion on health a year. So it's about one-sixth of that per year on defence. As I say, it's an insurance policy, so We're really talking about a premium on it's getting the premium's getting high, but it's got some utility. And I think this is the point. You know, we use the Defence Force in response to a tsunami, a cyclone, a crisis in East Timor, a crisis in Bougainville, a crisis in the Solomon Islands, and we help out our allies further afield as and when required. You know, I've just edited a book called In From the Cold, Reflections on Australia's Korean War, where, you know, back in 1950, we deployed the Defence Force to assist with the UN mission there in fighting back the North Koreans. Now, that didn't work out very well. It ended up being quite a quagmire and a stalemate. But essentially, the Defence Force can do those kind of things pretty quickly, and they factor in the prospect of having to do that, you know, not necessarily Korea, but be able to respond to a war-fighting scenario. That's the kind of the gold standard. And then anything short of that is something you can take in, do in your stride, you know, without breaking your line of, you know, of your marathon or your sprint. But I think one other thing, you touched on the issues of numbers, and I'll get back to this point about the Defence Force being a bit of a boutique force. It's really, really good, but it's pretty darn small. And we've got so many challenges. I would put to you what we need is a universal scheme of national and community service. So incentivised volunteerism, not just for defence, but for police, for home affairs, for national parks, for state emergency service, for the rural fire services, and so on. Because we've got, you know, if the last 6 months is anything to go by, we're probably looking down the barrel of a spectrum of challenges that aren't just about Army, Navy, and Air Force requirements. They can help, and they have an important role, but there are other things that are happening that require, I would argue, a more holistic assessment of the security of the nation writ large, holistically. And I think that's where I'm coming from, and that's where I see this, what's happened here, is a step in the right direction, but I think much more needs to be done yet. And I don't think we as a nation have quite had that conversation yet.
Yeah. And I think, John, we're nearly out of time. I mean, Tass will disagree with me.
I totally disagree.
I think $20 billion a year, which is one-sixth of health spending, is actually not a significant amount of money.
I just don't see the community building out of it. I don't see the results.
No, but...
How is our society a better and stronger society as a result of that investment, Macca?
Take it away.
It's not.
Take it away.
It's just not.
Here we go.
It's right. Just not. I mean, all we're doing is feeding the beast, really.
Tast is going to defend the border with a pitchfork, but I think that... You know, the amount that we spend is important. It's how it's actually spent, and you know, I get a feeling, you know, that this was, you know, what governments like to call announceables. You know, lots of a bit of military equipment. Yeah. We'll get a few ministers
Very conveniently, just before the Eden Menara.
Oh yes, let's have a by election.
Yeah, so it was cleverly timed.
Yeah, I'd like to have a longer discussion about this, John. We'll get Tass fired up a bit more.
Yes.
But
that's fun.
He's just going to sharpen his pitchfork to defend the borders. So look, thanks for what you've done. And as I said, people, what was the book you've just edited again? Sorry,
It's called In From the Cold: Reflections on Australia's Korean War.
Cool.
It's a free download from ANU Press.
Oh lovely. Even better.
We're gonna do that. Look, thanks so much, John, for your time and you know, your
pleasure,
interest.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Great to hear your thoughts.
Really appreciate it.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.